Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Boomer out today. He's got the flu, we think. He took his Tamiflu. He sent a text yesterday saying he was going to be out with lots of sick face emojis. And he said he had a rough day, so we're rooting for the big guy to get healthy as soon as possible. And at this point, you know, you say, oh, well, if he comes back tomorrow, he's probably going to be contagious. Well, at this point, we've been totally exposed to all of his germs. He could have come in today. It wouldn't have really mattered. But we want him to get right. We want him to get some rest, so that's what he is doing right now.
You know what sucks about it, though, is Al wrote him a birthday song.
Really?
He did. He did. Today's his birthday. Al was right on it, and he's not here.
Wow.
And it was ready. Like, you could have done it yesterday if you really thought he was going to be out today. And,
yeah. Yeah, that's right. I keep forgetting it's his birthday, even though we already said happy birthday. I keep forgetting. Did you play the song already on the warm-up show?
I sang it live on the warm-up show, yeah.
Okay, but did you record it? So do you have, like, a recorded version?
Yeah, Eddie recorded it.
Okay. And do you have it right now, Eddie? All right. Well, hell, we're talking about it.
Boomer is older, still has his hair. I am freaking bald. Boomer still has lots of his testosterone. My results are dry as a bone. Boomer stays up till 2:45. Checks the Rangers score. I hope you still need me. Oreos feed me. Boomer's 64.
Make me. I like it. That is great. Of course, the classic When I'm 64, the Beatles, yes. Tremendous. Boomer is 64.
Which is hard to believe, but yes, he is.
Yeah. You know, 65 is one of those milestones, right? Like, you can get special things like discounts at Denny's and things like that when you turn 65.
Security.
Well, Social Security, yeah.
I thought it was 67 now. 65?
Well, for the you can start getting it.
At 60, right?
Yeah, 60 or 62. Yeah, or
that's not
like
smart, right? They say not to do that.
Well, I mean.
And what if you don't last to 68?
That's right. True.
And if you need it.
Good point. But if you're a healthy individual, maybe you hang on. Well, I guess it really doesn't matter. Once you're dead, right? You're dead. You're not going to be thinking about the Social Security you didn't get.
I suppose so.
Boomer will be.
Yeah. It'll be haunting everybody.
He will.
From above.
Oh, St. Peter, well, what's the tax situation up here?
I mean, everybody's just assuming I want to be here. I mean, I don't know. What's this going to cost me? Yeah. I mean, I always say that stuff, not to go down like the dark death thing that we do from time to time, but I always say that when people say like, oh, I'm scared of flying, or I'm scared of this, I'm scared of that. Well, I'm like, those things. I'd be scared of, like, being unlawfully detained in a third world country.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'd be scared
of. Which does happen.
Because, like, that, then you get tortured and you're in, like, you're living through hell. But if, like, you know, you're on a plane and the thing, unfortunately, it crashes and it just, like, bang, it's over. Like, you're not, there's no memory of it.
But it's the terror and the fear that you live in the moment.
Yeah.
As it's happening.
Short, though. And then bang, you're never thinking about it. So, like, the moment, what's worse, the moment or then the memories of it? Like, I was watching that, because the moment's just, it's quick and it's happening, this tornado documentary, and, like, the guy,
you know, all these years later is like, you know, I've done some reading on some PTSD. And like when I talk about it, I start feeling this way and start feeling that way. You know, it's the memories of it that end up haunting you forever.
So. Right. And you sometimes have rough night's sleep because it just keeps coming back and coming back. No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. But being like, you know, stuck, like the, ever watch that show Locked Up Abroad when it was on?
I've seen one or two. It's not something I go back to.
It was always like some idiot was trying to sneak weed into some country that you just weren't supposed to be sneaking anything into. And then you'd be in these jails, and it was absolutely horrible.
And their laws are ridiculous.
For years and years and years.
How about that?
Oh, man.
Imagine, how about that?
Yeah. Imagine Joe Beningo in a El Salvadorian jail somewhere.
No, I could not. No, I could not. No, never mind.
Yeah.
I was going to say the photos of that are disturbing, but yes.
Yeah. But anyway. So anyway, I was just thinking about that the other day. You know? The things you fear and the things you don't fear.
No doubt.
But that would be a tough one. That would certainly be a tough one, getting thrown in a jail, unlawfully detained.
I would certainly think
in
so.
A
with
third world country.
And literally no help of, or no hope of getting out anytime soon.
Yeah. So, of course, I open my, as one guy sent to me on X, and he's right, I open my big fat mouth, and then the Mets lose two in a row to the Twins.
And speaking of death.
So, I mean, I was like, the Twins suck after the first game of the series. They stink. The Mets are on a roll. I'm getting excited. They'll beat the Twins. They'll sweep them. They better sweep them. And then you come home, and then you got the Cardinals. So, I mean, how they lost these last two games is just, it's insanity to me. Now, I understand the bullpen game and the Griffin Canning, but it's still Griffin Canning.
Still should have won this game yesterday. Yeah. They had opportunities. They don't hit. I mean, honestly, that's the biggest thing. You had the play that they challenge accurately, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I went back because I always like to, with the MLB app, I like to go back on a play that's kind of, I guess, controversial to a certain degree, but it's, you know, could go either way. And I wanted to see what the Twins announcers thought of the play that they challenged at second base. And they were both like, as soon as they saw it, this is coming back. And, you know, they're going on. As the review was going on, they were talking as if it was going to be reversed, but they still liked the aggressiveness and pushing the envelope and making the Mets make a play and all of that. And they showed from six different angles, the guy's out. Point is, then when you have the play with Buto at first base, or Buto, however we pronounce it now, they don't have the challenge left. So there was a lot of reasons why they lost this game. They've been sloppy before the series. They've been sloppy defensively. Juan Soto has done nothing. I mean, I know he hit a couple of home runs, but I mean, your big spot yesterday with the bases loaded and that terrible double play, there's a lot of reasons why they haven't won these last couple of games.
Yeah, I mean, they're still in a great spot. It was just frustrating, and I know it was cold, and Soto looked like he was cold and all of that stuff, and that's not going to last for the entire season. I know everybody wants to jump all over him. I think most Mets fans are being patient with it. It's just that a game like yesterday is very frustrating.
I agree.
Very, very frustrating to not come through in that particular situation against a bad team where you should be beating them. I mean, he's also, you know, he's striking out way more than expected.
Yeah.
I know Sal and BT had the conversation. I don't know if it's because he's pressing or what is going on. But that is the most alarming part about it, all the strikeouts.
Well,
yesterday.
And I'll add to that. The alarming part, too, is the fact that he's got one of the hottest hitters in baseball behind him.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I always thought when people would talk about Alonso hitting behind Soto, I always thought Soto doesn't need the help. Put Alonso in front of Soto so he gets the better pitching. And they did what they did, and it's worked out beautifully for Pete. What's weird is that Soto is not hit. I would have thought he'd be hitting 450 at this point, and it's a long season. He's going to be fine. I'm not sitting here. Whether he's pressing or not, I don't know. I don't worry about Juan Soto in that way because this guy's been playing for contracts for the last several years, as it seems, and always performs, and he'll be fine. I do believe that. But this has not been a great – it's been okay, but it has not been a great start for him by any stretch. And he's come up pretty small in some big spots so far this year.
Yeah, and as far as Pete and the start that he has, and just remarkable, if you look at all the numbers, just incredible – and I brought this up when I think it was another day that Boomer was out with you, where you know, Pete Alonso and maybe signing him to a contract extension in the season.
Yeah.
And then the other side of that, it's a tough thing to argue because if you're just taking the emotion out of it or who he is and the team and the history with the team, you know, if you're the player and the agent, you're like, well, why the hell would I not opt out and shop myself to get the most amount of money at the end of the season? And then if you're the Mets, you're like, well, why would I end up paying him in the middle of the season when he could have a devastating injury at some point the rest of this season or his production goes way down? So I understand those parts of it. But at the same time, this was a ridiculous negotiation.
Sure was.
And you came up with this contract that made him the highest paid first baseman for a year. You know he's going to opt out. And he loves it here. The fans love him. Mm-hmm. He still has a number of good years left. Why can't we just, like, drop that crap when it comes to a thing like this?
I agree. Especially with one of your own guys. And I'm not saying that he deserves or needs or should get a 10-year deal. Not at all.
No.
But the idea that you wouldn't at this point, because he is older, he's not 25, and I get that and the whole thing, even though I think these contracts are beyond stupid. And I mean, even, like I've said, and I mean this, to me, the best case scenario for the Mets is that the Mets win a couple, or at least one, win a World Series in the next 5 years, and they let Soto walk and don't have to pay him when he's 39 years old.
Yeah.
And it turns out to be a great 5-year run, and let someone else give him $50 million a year after that, but whatever. I'm with you. We've seen other teams do this with younger players, like the Rays have done it, the Braves have done it, the Padres just did it with, I forget the kid's name, but you get my point from last week. Why not even go back to the original offer? And you know what? At that point, if he declines it again, from this point forward, it's on him.
Yeah.
But put it out there one more time. And here, and you want to know the answer to what you just said? Why should the player not shop himself? Here's why. He just tried and failed miserably.
Yeah, coming off a bad year.
I understand, but he's a year older now, too.
Yeah. And also, you don't know from his perspective, too. Like, if they come to him in May or June and he's still on this heater, you know, you'd want to take advantage of that. I mean, he could go in a miserable slump for the rest of the year. And I just, and you're right. It's not a 10-year deal.
No.
It's not like something that Aaron Judge got at his age when he was at 30 years old, even though he's going to earn every penny of that. Just how about this? You keep, obviously, this year the same.
Yeah.
You tear up the rest of the deal, and then you tack on 4 more years.
I couldn't agree more.
Then you got your contract. Now, David Stearns and Scott Boras, that would be completely out of their comfort zones.
I get it.
So the odds of it happening are slim, but I would just love to see that.
You know what it does? It creates a cloud that just hovers over the team and the player that does not need to be there.
Yeah.
Just doesn't. And for all the people that say he's not, I'm so tired of people that say he's not a good first baseman. He actually is a good first baseman.
Yeah.
He might not have been when he came out of Florida. Maybe he wasn't the best defensive first baseman. And I am not saying he's this version of Hernandez or Mattingly even now. But he is a damn good first baseman that you feel very comfortable with out there every game.
Yeah, there's never been a player I can remember with the Mets that has climbed up their all-time stats charts in multiple categories who at this age was basically looked at as he's either going to be here or not be here by the end of the season. It's in 2 years in a row, mm-hmm. too. Like, I mean, think about, like, we, without any sort of controversy, like Dow Strawberry, obviously we know all the issues and things, but the trade to the Dodgers, I don't think that's a comparison to Pete. You know, get and how you were a big Strawberry fan. You remember how old he was when he got traded?
Well, he was a free agent when he went to the Dodgers.
Free agent when he went out to LA.
So it was 1990, and he came up in 82 or 83, so 70. He's probably, I would say he was probably 27. 28, maybe? Because he was drafted at 18 right out of Crenshaw High School as a senior.
So he's March of 12th, 1962 is when he was born. So
28.
Yeah, so he's 28. But there was controversy around him.
Oh, yeah. Now, I would not have let him go like Frank Cashin did.
No, and no one, yeah.
But there were Doc and Daryl, as it's been it's been documented. They had their issues. There's no question about it. They had their issues. And things actually, while the first year in L.A. went well for him, after that, I mean, he got into all sorts of trouble. Then he wound up going to the San Francisco Giants, who made him, or maybe they actually hired his brother, who was a cop, to follow him to make sure he didn't get into trouble, still found his way into trouble. And then George Steinbrenner came in after he went to the Minneapolis, what was that team? God, I used to... We talk about following box scores. I used to get the box scores of that Minnesota Independent League team just to see how he was doing. That's how crazy I was of a fan. But yeah, I mean, there were issues, and that's why they let him go, but a lot of people didn't agree with it.
Like, so, you know, Pete Alonso is more David Wright than he is Darryl Strawberry. David Wright was never going anywhere.
He's a goofball, but he is such a good face for this franchise because he just seems like a good kid who just wants to play and win for the Mets. If you had nine of those guys, you'd have the greatest team ever.
Yeah, right. Because that's, and he really does want to win.
He does.
I think he wants to be everybody.
And here he wants to win.
Yeah, and he wants to be paid, you know, like the other players in the league that are like him, like his peers. And I understand that, but I would love to see that. Scott Boras would never let that happen, but
it's such an interesting conversation and mind-boggling too. So like when you think about Soto, and I'm not getting into any metrics or style or anything like that, but when you think about Soto as a player, this guy just got almost, and this is, I'm not exaggerating, he got almost $1 billion of a contract. He's an average, at best, outfielder. At best. He's a good hitter. That's like he's getting paid to hit. That's what he's getting paid to do. Alonso gives you, beyond solid. I think he's an above average first baseman. He's a hell of a fielder. He's one of the better home run hitters we have seen. And I know last year was bad. I don't care what the numbers say. Last year was not a good year. He's one of the most prolific home run hitters right now in baseball and has been for the last 7-8 years. And yet we treat him like, give him 4 years. What, are you out of our mind? But we'll give this guy who can't play right field without tripping over himself 17 years and $400 billion. It's hilarious.
Do you think if he had a different personality that those things that you're talking about would go away?
In what way? What do you mean? Not being a goofball?
Yeah, like I feel like because of his goofiness, he's not taken as seriously. Like, think about, like, you know, David Wright was a captain. Like, he had a little bit of an aura. He was a baby face guy,
sure,
but he had more of an aura about him, like being the guy who was the face of the franchise you'd slap on the media guide every single year. I mean, Aaron Judge has this presence, never says the wrong thing. Not that Pete does, but he's got this presence. He's a huge man.
Sure.
You see him. Like, Pete's like, you know, he's not in the greatest shape, but he's a goofball. So, like, if he had the same exact numbers, same age, everything, but looked more like and acted like Bryce Harper, I'm telling you, it would be different.
So you think there's a part of it where he gets taken advantage of?
I do.
Because of his personality.
I do.
But isn't that what the agent's for? Like, how much of negotiating is he actually? I mean, hell, the way we understand it, the only way they actually got this deal done was him going face-to-face with Steve Cohen.
You know, and it's another one of these things, too. Like, if you remember when he came up, like, he was never even taken all that seriously in the minors. Like, he was hitting home runs, and people were like, well, who is this? I remember Ed Coleman one time was on years and years ago.
He's like, well, I might call up Alonso. Do I think he's going to be a great player? No. Could he have a couple home runs? Yes. He might be a 4A player.
Like, it wasn't like he was drafted number one overall and he was coming up through the system. People were like, I can't wait for this guy. You know, and then people would go see him.
Yeah.
Like, wow, look at the numbers that this guy's putting up in the minors. You go see him, like, you see this, like, halfway pudgy, you know, balding goofball. And he'd be like, him? He's going to be the face of the franchise?
I get that. But you know what the face of the franchise for me is? A guy that hits a home run in the last inning of a game that's going to eliminate you from the postseason and instead sends you on to the next round. A guy who hits a big home run in the next round against the Phillies. I get it.
I agree with everything you're saying. I think that it's a shame. I just think that that's happening and it's silly. I just think that there are certain...
You want an edge to him.
Yeah, I mean, or just like more, like he doesn't really exude, like, I'm the man or the confidence in like, it just, it doesn't.
Like, he's not the alpha.
Yeah.
Like, I get it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and also like the goofiness with the home run derby and the kiss and the bat and the weird stuff he would do. And
you're not wrong, but I still think at the end of the day, if I had to make a decision on who I want to give my money to, there's not a better example of someone I would want to pay.
And same here, you know, and people will hear what I'm saying and totally misunderstand it. I'm playing devil's advocate in the sense with Pete and just saying, why is it when you just take away, you just look at his career and look at his numbers and look who he is and all of the things, why isn't this a slam dunk? Like, I would sign him to a contract during a season.
If we're just talking baseball, my answer to that would be the age, and they're worried about him falling off the cliff because he's about to hit where he's at in his 30s, that would be my answer. But I do think track record means something, and I do believe you can still project some pretty good numbers at his age. He's not 40.
No, and that's why you did.
Agreed.
1 year this year plus four.
Yep.
Bang. There you go. There's your contract. Frank in Saddlebrook. What's going on, Frank?
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey. I've been a Met fan since 1962, and you guys brought up Keith Hernandez and John Olerud, two outstanding individuals and ball players. And Keith, I thought, is the greatest all-around Met of all time. But I also think with John Olerud's stats going back to Toronto, going forward, he is Keith Hernandez's equal, maybe not defensively, but all around. I was wondering what your thoughts are.
He was a great offensive. He was a really good defensive player, great, too, but he was a great offensive player. Didn't he have some years where he batted 350?
Yeah. I mean, and his defense was phenomenal. You remember that? That 99 Mets team, it was the best defensive infield that they ever had, and he was a huge part of that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Keith was Keith all around. And, you know, I'd have to go through and comb through the numbers, which I'm not necessarily going to do. But I mean, both those guys, phenomenal careers. I mean, I'll always be partial to Keith.
Before we go to break, how about this? How about this season with Toronto? 158 games played. He batted 363.
Yeah.
363. That's pretty impressive.
How many strikeouts?
I bet you not many, because he was not a strikeout. Let's see. And so I'll give you the at-bat. Here are your plate appearances. 679 plate appearances. How many strikeouts? You want to take a guess?
55.
You're pretty close. 65.
Wow.
Think about that with what we watch every day now in baseball, where it's okay to strike out 230 times a season. 65 strikeouts.
Yeah. I mean, he's a great player that does not get talked about a ton.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Yep.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Boomer sick, Jerry in for him. That means that CeeLo is on the updates today for Jerry, and he's back with another one. What's going on, CeeLo?
Brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair. There it is.
There it is. Hello.
Hey-o. Sorry, Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Fair Tire. Nobody. Well, the Royals don't beat the Yankees much from the start of last season, including the playoffs. It's now 11 out of 14 for the Yanks. It's also time for the Yanks Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by Thrivewell Infusion. Aaron Judge would be an obvious choice. Sure. Another big game last night, but I'm going to go with Fernando Cruz, who got a big assist from his right fielder to close out a three-game sweep of Kansas City last night.
Here's the pitch. Breaking ball, swing on, hit the right field. Bellinger on his horse. Dodge makes the catch! Oh, baby! Belly stumbled just a little bit on his second step, going hard towards the line, dives, makes the catch. You should see Jazz Chisholm as he hugs Volpe. Jazz had his glove on his head like, can you believe what we just saw?
It was a nice catch.
Hey, yeah. Now. I mean, that's a hey now moment if you ever had
it
one.
It was. Dave Sims' final call here on the Fan as Bellinger helped Cruz close out his first big league save at the age of 35. A six-out save, for that matter, and then makes him our Yankees Thriving Player of the Game, brought to you by Thrivewell, New York's premier infusion and injection center, saving lives drip by drip. Visit ThrivewellInfusion.com. And Cruz getting it done in the absence of both Devin Williams and Luke Weaver, as they had both worked back-to-back games Monday and Tuesday. So Cruz locks it down. Yanks win it 4-3. Also, thanks to an Aaron Judge go-ahead home run in the bottom of the seventh, his seventh of the year, to cap a 3-for-3 night at the plate. He's now batting .409 with 21 RBIs through 18 games. Here's Cruz on Judge, both the person and the freak of nature, all in one package.
I think that the human he is, he deserves everything he's becoming and do. I mean, he's just the human he is. He cannot expect anything less than what he's living right now. He's just a superhuman.
So he's human and superhuman, all in one.
The
package,
shot,
right?
That they just showed on CBS Sports Network. I mean, I saw the hit, obviously, but they just showed it in tight. That thing's right down the middle of the plate.
Yeah.
How do you throw it there to that guy in that spot?
Well, I don't think that was the plan. It's a little missed execution, missed spot.
Yeah.
And Judge does what he does.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Doesn't seem to get those pitches in the playoffs.
No.
So.
No, somehow, they execute some way. A little better in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know how it is, Jerry. You can get him out with a well-executed pitch.
Oh, I know. But that was a bad pitch.
Yeah, and he did what he does and put it over the fence. Judge served as the DH last night, so he was in the dugout watching the Bellinger catch in right to end the game.
Off the bat, I'm thinking, oh, it's an but, man, that guy's got a gold glove for a reason. That was so impressive to close out the game like that. That was a tight one, especially with a great ball club like this. So, you know, it's happy to come away with a win there.
That's Judge with Chris Sheeran on Amazon Prime right after the
you
final
You think the
out.
Royals ever beat the Yankees?
I 11 out of 14.
It's unbelievable. What's that?
Since the start of last season, it's 11 out of 14, including the playoff series.
No, I know. I'm saying, do you think they ever get over the hump where they start beating? I mean, it is like, you just feel like, and Bubich is a good pitcher. They've got good players. Mm-hmm.
I like the Twins.
It's unreal. Yeah, it is amazing.
The Twins are even more embarrassing, I think.
Well, that's all over a much longer period of time.
And also postseason. Yeah. Well, it goes back to A-Rod. Postseason too.
Yeah, but the Royals, that's one. Series. The Yankees have seen them multiple. That's like, we're going back to, it's almost 20
years. And those
years
Royals now. Teams that went to the World Series and the one that won it, the Yankees didn't face in the playoffs, right?
Not in the playoffs.
Right.
No. I couldn't tell you what they did in the regular season in those years. I think the postseason series last year was the first since like the Brett era, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. So it had been a while. You had the season debut of Clark Schmidt, who nearly got through six, 5 2/3 with 3-run ball and just 73 pitches. Happy to be back and slot into this rotation, especially without Gerrit Cole and Luis Gil.
I definitely have to step up, and the whole rotation has to step up. And I know that my job is to go out there and be consistent as possible every 5 days and post and give my team a chance to win. So definitely know that I have to step up.
Yanks will hit the road for the next seven. They've got a four-game set with the Rays at George M. Steinbrenner Field beginning tonight. Will Warren opposed by Taj Bradley. We got pregame coverage here on The Fan beginning at 6:25. Mets and Twins played a day rubber game in Minnesota. It was 3-0 Twins. The Mets did mount a rally with 3 runs in the eighth to tie things up. You had RBI doubles from Pete Alonso and Jesse Winker, but the Twins would win in extras bottom 10 on a Ty France RBI single off Reed Garrett. 4-3, the final in 10 as Minnesota won the series. Here's Carlos Mendoza on his team's performance in this one.
We didn't play good baseball for the first half, but then coming back in the eighth, putting a rally together against one of the better arms, from then, it was really good to get back in the game. But overall, we couldn't close the deal today.
And a rough one for Juan Soto, 0-for-5, 3 strikeouts, plus that big double play ground ball in two.
I know
well.
Our guy Frank Fleming from Barstool, a little extreme at times.
Yeah,
I think that's fair to say. He declared yesterday as the day the season ended.
Oh, come on.
He said, mark it down, April 16th, the Mets season. I don't know if he used the word over, but he declared April 16th as the day that you will remember as where the season
started.
I mean,
he should be in good spirits. I mean, there's really nothing about the Dolphins are going through some stuff. But he's got the Devils in the playoffs and the Mets are still winning.
Not thrilled with the way the Devils have played, and he's really upset with Soto. I know.
The Devils,
I get it.
You give them credit for hanging in there.
I agree.
Look, stranger things have happened in the Stanley Cup playoffs, but it would be a surprise if they took down Carolina. And that, I promise, that is not the hater Ranger fan in me.
You hate the Devils.
I do, but I also can be objective and tell you when I think they're really good, and they're playing without their best player.
And the Mets will be fine.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting to me is there's a lot. I know Jerry is one of the guys who roots for the Devils. It's in New Jersey, but it's the one team now that's still left in Jersey. And there's so many people in New Jersey that don't root for the Devils.
Well, it depends on where you are. If you go down to Monmouth County, there's still a lot of Ranger fans. But Monmouth County is a lot of Devil fans.
Yeah.
They do well in that
building. Ocean County. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
They don't have...
No, they sell out most games.
Yeah. They do. I mean, they do well for what they do. I mean, you're not going to compare it to an original six franchise. No offense to them.
Well, that's right. And you kind of bounced around. You were in weird states.
Oh, I was born in Queens. And both my parents are from my dad's Queens. My mom's the Bronx. So
I just know more Jersey guys that are Ranger fans.
They've been around for 100 years.
They moved. Yeah. Probably weren't born there as Ranger fans, or their parents had that.
Sal is in Lodi. What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Chris. Thank you because you kind of made me like a semi-celebrity with all the Twitter feeds.
Okay, well, explain to us what's going on because no one has any idea.
I'm the guy that gave you Nietzsche the ball, the ball.
Dude, would you like me to set this up for
yeah,
you?
Yeah, so
you?
Sal CeeLo is going to explain this to us, and so we all know what's going on.
So opening weekend for the Yankees, the day they hit the 9 home runs, mm-hmm. my brother-in-law, my sister, my niece went to the game. They sat in left field close to the wall, and my niece, who's not even 9 yet, was trying to get a ball throughout the game. Hey, Cody Bellinger, blah, blah, blah. Couldn't get anyone to throw her a baseball, right? Oswald Peraza hits the franchise record-breaking homer, the 9th home run. This gentleman on the line here, Sal, gets the ball. He ends up doing a very nice thing and brings the ball, gives it to my niece. Long story short, Yankees security came out, found my family. Hey, the Yankees would like the ball back.
Really?
Come down. Well, they met Oswald Peraza. They took pictures with him. Ben Rice got a tour of the clubhouse, the batting cages, autograph balls, the whole 9 yards in exchange for the home run ball. Sal, after giving it to my niece, had left a little early. So we wanted to see if we could track down this gentleman who did this really nice thing for my family after they got great treatment from the Yankees. So I put it out there on Twitter. Sure enough, Keith McPherson sees it. He sees that Sal, in the photograph he took with my niece, was wearing a Billy's shirt. Keith reaches out to Billy's. They track down Sal's name. Long story short, now we got them connected. My brother-in-law spoke to him. We put them in touch, and they're going to, I think, try and meet up at some point and give Sal some of the memorabilia that they got out of
it. Wow, what a great story.
So he did a great job giving a young girl her first ever Major League Baseball game.
Hey, Sal, you pissed you didn't get all that crap, too?
Yeah. Listen, I was treated like a celebrity at Billy's last Sunday. What did the game?
Okay, all right, good. Yeah, so no bitterness that you didn't get a tour of the stadium and a bunch of signs?
No, I actually got a tour of that stadium before it was even open.
Okay, all right, very good. Of course, I'm just joking around here with you. You did a great thing, and it's awesome. And you got all that. So on social media, on X, you were becoming a little bit of a celebrity. Did you enjoy every bit of that?
Yeah, I actually still am. Everywhere, like, a couple people recognize me when I go out, if I'm at a game or something. Like I said, at Billy's, I don't think I paid for a drink the whole day.
Wow, that is great, Sal. And you did the right thing, giving the ball to the kid, and I'm glad it worked out the way it did. Good job for the Yankees. Now, And thanks, Sal. But, you know, if this were a more important home run ball, like it's like, okay, break the record, the nine home runs and the weekend thing. Like, that's not something that's necessarily going to go on auction for a lot of money. So you take that experience. But that was like one of those balls that really meant something. You got to say, no, sorry, it's going up for auction. I don't care what you guys say.
Maybe. I can't. My brother-in-law, who's a lifelong Yankee fan, a diehard, I think it was more about just the experience with his daughter, her first game, so on and so forth. He wasn't, you know, looking to cash in financially. But yeah, if that was Aaron Judge's,
I would not even have thought that they would have done anything for that home run.
I guess
that's interesting.
It was a, you know,
no, I get it, but I would have been surprised. And, like, what do you guys want?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Al, all kidding aside, would you have given that home run ball up to a kid near you?
Yeah, definitely.
You would have?
I actually had to make a tough decision once where I ended up with a foul ball when we took... Boomer had the box at City Field, and he took his grandkids, and I took my kids, and his nephew Randy brought his daughter. So foul ball comes up into the box. It hits his nephew Randy, takes it right in his big ham hock thigh. And he's a big, like, he's a lifter. You know, he's one of those guys. So the ball comes to me, and I'm like, the right thing to do is to give it to his daughter because he took the shot. And then here my daughters are looking at me do that, and I had to explain to them, listen, her daddy got hurt getting this ball. It's just the right thing to do. You'll have your time.
Mm-hmm. You might not, actually.
Yeah, probably
hard to
not.
Find a, get a foul ball.
I've never even come close to getting one in all my years.
And quite frankly, sounds like he wasn't paying attention. He got what he deserved.
Well, he walked out right at the wrong time. So we were sitting there, and then he just, like, you know, walked out with a drink and some popcorn, you know, and just like, boom, just drilled him. I mean, he had a big welt on him, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's very nice of you.
Yeah, I know. I kind of, like, part of me feels bad, but that I would have felt like I can convince my kids that I'm not a jerk, but I don't think I could convince someone else's kid that I'm not a jerk. You understand what I'm saying?
And you would have been the jerk in that moment.
Right. Like, wait a second. Like, the young girl's thinking, my daddy just got hit with a ball, and then you're taking it and handing it to your kid? That doesn't seem right. You know, whereas I could say to my girls, and they'll listen and be like, okay, I understand. You know, we'll get you a baseball some point in your lifetime, maybe. You've never gotten a foul ball?
No, not even close. We went to the game Monday night. My oldest was convinced. He was like using me as a human shield. He was worried he was going to get hit by like a laser. We're down the left field line. I'm like, dude, you'll be fine. Brought his glove and everything. Nothing. Not
nothing?
No. There was one that ricocheted off the second deck, landed a few rows back, but not where we were like within arm's reach or anything. Same thing. He was going down every in between innings when they were warming up with the left fielder and the center fielder screaming for a ball. And they throw them every inning, but he never came close to
it. Yeah, it's funny. In my adult life where I don't care about it as much, I've gotten like four when
I've
gotten
really?
I guess that's the key.
Wow.
Not caring about it.
I only caught the one in the suite.
And then as a kid, like it took me years and years and years. I was like 20-something when I got the first one.
Look at that.
I don't know where that's from.
Is that mine? That might be mine.
Oh, okay.
Oriole jersey in front?
Yes, it's yours.
That's mine,
Is this a Camden?
No, I was at City Field.
Oh.
We were sitting there. My friend Mark got a suite for the game, and I was sitting in the first or second row, and it came right at me, and I just caught it.
Looks
which was
like
cool.
An Oriole jersey.
And then who was the Met manager a couple years ago, the young kid that they hired?
Mickey
no.
Cowell.
No.
Luis Rojas.
Yes.
Rojas.
Okay. When Rojas
was a young kid, wasn't
well, compared to Buck Showalter, he was.
He was in his 40s.
Oh, whatever.
Well, okay.
I'm 51. He's a kid.
All right.
When
he was all minor league. No one knew who he was when he got the job.
When he was on the staff, when we went to Miami to see them, he sought out my son, who kept running down because we were in Miami, and he had the Met gear on, and he threw him a ball. But, like, that's it. In all my years, I've never come close to catching anything else.
Well, the flu.
Multiple times and every season, and I'm assuming this weekend.
You're a magnet for that.
Yeah.
You all want Dog with Gary Player real quick or next hour?
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I'll do it here.
Did you hear this?
Yeah, so he has...
I read it because it was on Al's show.
He had Gary Player on yesterday talking Masters, Rory McIlroy's victory, and here was Player first trying to talk inspirationally.
Realize, young people, to never, ever, ever give up, as Winston Churchill said. Never give up. You got to keep trying. Strive for education and think what it's done for tourism in Ireland. Can you imagine?
So all nice things. And then that was the very end of the interview. And here was how our dog chose to wrap things up.
100% Royal St. Rush. Here I come. Whatever that Port Rush, whatever it's called. I am there next. You are the best. Stay alive. Thanks for coming on, Gary. Appreciate it very much.
All my love to your listeners. Take care, my buddy.
You got it with Gary Player.
Stay alive.
Stay alive. You're an old man. Anything could kill you.
You know, you're probably, your senses are probably not the way they used to be 10 years ago. You could get run over by something, or maybe a, you know, even a pneumonia situation could get you if it hit you at the wrong time of year. So stay alive. And then he also, I mean, Royal Saint Rush.
I know, he's got, at least he corrected himself quickly.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's like saying, like, us having Juan Soto on and saying, I hope you win the Super Series. Like, what are you doing?
But putting
he's
that,
being dog. That's
putting
what
that
he's
stay
doing.
Alive out there. I know Gary's in great shape at 89. He but, you know,
kicked the crap out of all three of us on the golf course but, still you know, at 89.
Hopefully he will stay alive or we'll end up with a
Mike. Might outlive dog.
We might end up with a Mike situation from 2008.
His goal's 100.
Quickly.
Of course, the other sad news today is Charlie Jones passing is sad news, but he was 78 years old. The sportscaster, but the shocking news that Tim Russell dropped dead today at the age of 58.
Phrasing, Mike. Not great. So
yeah, I remember that.
Yeah.
And this guy, it's okay because he's old, but this one's the one.
Dropped it. Yeah.
He dropped it, which was shocking. We're back. All right, CeeLo, we'll see you next hour.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I always get surprised and somewhat alarmed when I hear that someone who is in their 50s or 60s or even 40s and hasn't eaten something that we've all eaten at some point in our lives. And the latest one of those is Jim Palmer, former Oriole great who now does their broadcast, has never had a chicken wing. And he said that, what if they hit a grand slam, I'll eat a chicken wing or something like that.
But how in living in America do you not at some point try a chicken wing?
I don't know. And what type of, you tell me you never had a piece of fried chicken as a kid.
Yeah, like.
I don't buy it, but whatever.
Like, this is me shoveling boneless wings down my face on CBS Sports Network. But, like, I was trying to think to myself, like, is there anything that everybody else has eaten that I've never eaten? And I've tried almost everything. So the one thing, I am actually ashamed to say this, but I've tried every single way possible, is I do not have a taste for lobster.
I don't either.
I've tried. I want to have it. The surface turf, it looks great. The lobster rolls, people, I'm jealous every time I try.
To me, it tastes like nothing.
I can't. It's just.
I know.
And I'm mad at myself. So don't yell at me, people. I've tried. I'm not going to sit here and eat something that I don't think tastes good. And I don't even feel like I've got some sort of like horrible, you know, just American terrible palate. Like I'll eat different stuff. But for something, I can't do that. But I'm trying to think, is there something like really normal that people eat that I haven't eaten?
And eat a wiener.
I've had many wieners. Yes, I've eaten many wieners. Al, during the summertime, I grill up a ton of them.
Well, it's not even so much just trying everything. That's a very common meal.
Yeah.
So I think if you were going to make a list, I mean, you're talking about things like steak, burgers, hot dogs, chicken wings, peanut butter and jelly, grilled cheese, like all the things that kids in America grow up eating and even adults. I don't know. I'm like, who do you know that's never tried peanut butter and jelly or a grilled cheese?
There's got to be somebody. Isn't there you, Al? Didn't you?
I've never had a grilled cheese.
Ever?
Ever.
How is that possible? They didn't have any school?
That yellow cheese. I'm sure they did. I did not eat them. I only had peanut butter and jelly and separately eggs after I was 40 years old.
See, this is one of those things?
Egg thing, too?
Yeah.
It's alarming to me. Like, at least try these things when you're younger. Like, what was it about those things that you were so turned off by you never even tried them?
They just visually just looked like not something that would be pleasing.
And now you eat 4 eggs a day.
Now I have 4 eggs.
Every day.
Yeah, for like 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah, I love eggs. That's the thing I eat for lunch, too.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
Every day.
You know what? If he didn't eat eggs till he was 40, maybe it is. Yeah, okay. Maybe he didn't have chicken wings. I don't know how it's possible, but okay.
And this one that I might have told this one before in the air, but when my update anchor in Pittsburgh, when I first started there, he was in his 50s. I think he was probably about 55 when we started there. He'd been in radio for a long time. He worked in Boston, got to Pittsburgh. So he'd been different places. He, I swear to God, did not know what a taco was. Not just hadn't eaten one. Didn't know what it was.
Oh, in fairness, we've got a fill-in update anchor that called Tequila Tequila once.
That is true.
I mean, and honestly, right. Didn't even understand what it was when you explained it to him.
Yeah, but I feel like a taco's worse.
Neither one's good.
Right.
You're right.
Because, you know, neither one is good. Schwartz is just like thinking like, oh, that has to be like a quesadilla. Like it has to be a tequila. Like that's the way his brain works. Like it has to be one of those L's that I'm going to pronounce in a different way.
No, it doesn't.
Right. That's what his brain. But so I'm like, what? He goes, oh, I've heard people say. You know, they'll go and get it and like talk, but I've never, Taco Bell, but I've never known what it was.
I would think, and this is where you didn't like what the grilled cheese looked like. All of these terrible meals that we're talking about that are very American, I had in school.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no way you didn't hear of a taco because we had Taco Tuesdays.
Yep, like, I know.
Every school had them. I don't remember having chicken wings as a kid. I'm sure we probably didn't, but it was just something, I don't know, you they were appetizers. They were Super Bowl Sunday. They were football foods. It was...
Yeah, I know. Wow. Like, we had a place, there were two locations, and then the one location in Bellport closed. It was called Spicy's, and they had these fried chicken wings that were unbelievable. They had their own sauce. It was just something we all, like, grew up eating, like the football team. You get the 50-piece bucket of Spicy's, and you're just grabbing it and eating it all the time. I mean, I never have had, like, Jim Palmer, was he that bougie? He looks like a bougie guy.
Maybe.
To not eat a chicken
wing. Are you going to tell me 20-year-old Jim Palmer never went to Hooters?
I mean, If it was even around back then, it was like in might not have been. I don't know when it started.
Mid-60s.
When it started, Hooters?
No. When he started.
Yeah, I'm asking. I don't know. When did Hooters start? Was that something? Was
the 80s.
Oh, it was. Okay.
So
it was
a sounds like a thing thought. That would start in the 80s, you know?
Hooters.
Hooters. Late 70s, early 80s.
I guess.
Hooters.
I don't know. I mean, McDonald's been around for what? Since 1930?
Yeah.
Maybe longer? I don't know. But, I mean,
a long time.
Longer than Hooters.
Definitely longer than Hooters. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Oh, I feel bad for him.
80s. Yeah. 83 for Hooters.
83.
Wow. I'm older than Hooters.
Yes. Incredible.
So am I.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.